However, the sunlight didn't. What did happen was that the famous Discworld sunlight, which, as has already been indicated, travels very slowly through the disk's powerful magical field, sloshed gently over the lands around the rim and began its soft, silent battle against the retreating armies of the night. It poured like molten gold. Not precisely, of course. Trees didn't burst into flame, people didn't suddenly become very rich and extremely dead, and the seas didn't flash into steam. A better simile, in fact, would be not like molten gold across the sleeping landscape, bright, clean, and above all, slow. Herenna didn't hesitate. With great presence of mind, she ran to the edge of old Grandad's bottom lip and jumped, rolling as she hit the earth. The men followed her, cursing as they landed among the debris. Like a fat man trying to do press-ups, the old troll pushed himself upwards. This wasn't apparent from where the prisoners were lying. All they knew was that the floor kept rolling under them, and that there was a lot of noise going on, most of it unpleasant. Weems grabbed Gensia's arm.
"It's a earthquake," he said. "Let's get out of here."
"Not without the gold," said Gensia.
"What? The gold, the gold. Man, we could be as rich as creosote."
Weems might have had a room temperature IQ, but he knew idiocy when he saw it. Gansia's eyes gleamed more than gold, and he appeared to be staring at Weems's left ear. Weems looked desperately at the luggage. It was still open, invitingly, which was odd. You'd have thought all the shaking would have slammed the lid shut.
"We'd never carry it," he suggested. "It's too heavy," he added.
"Well, damn, we'll carry some of it," shouted Gansia, and leapt towards the chest as the floor shook again.
The lid snapped shut. Gansia vanished. And just in case Weems thought it was accidental, the luggage's lid snapped open again, just for a second, and a large tongue as red as mahogany licked across the broad teeth as white as sycamore. Then it slammed shut again. To Weems's further horror, hundreds of little legs extruded from the underside of the box. It rose very deliberately, and carefully arranging its feet, shuffled around to face him. There was a particularly malevolent look about its keyhole. The sort of look that says, "Go on, make my day." He backed away and looked imploringly at Two Flower.
"I think it might be a good idea if you untied us," suggested Two Flower. "It's really quite friendly once it gets to know you."
Licking his lips nervously, Weems drew his knife. The luggage gave a warning creak. He slashed through their bonds and stood back quickly.
"Thank you," said Two Flower.
"I think my back's gone again," complained Cohen as Bethan helped him to his feet.
"What do we do with this man?" said Bethan.
"We take his knife and tell him to bugger off," said Cohen. "Right?"
"Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir," said Weems and bolted towards the cave mouth. For a moment he was outlined against the grey pre-dawn sky and then he vanished. There was a distant cry of,
"Ah!"
The sunlight roared silently across the land like surf. Here and there, where the magic field was slightly weaker, tongues of morning raced ahead of the day, leaving isolated islands of night that contracted and vanished as the bright ocean flowed onwards. The uplands around the vortex plains stood out ahead of the advancing tide like a great grey ship. It is possible to stab a troll, but the technique takes practice, and no one ever gets a chance to practice more than once. Herenna's men saw the trolls loom out of the darkness like very solid ghosts. Blades shattered as they hit silica skins. There were one or two brief, flat screams, and then nothing more but shouts far away in the forest, as they put as much distance as they could between themselves and the avenging earth. Rincewind crept out from behind a tree and looked around. He was alone. But the bushes behind him rustled as the trolls lumbered up after the gang. He looked up. High above him, two great crystalline eyes focused in hatred of everything soft and squelchy, and above all, warm. Rincewind cowered in horror as a hand the size of a house rose, curled into a fist, and dropped towards him. Day came with a silent explosion of light. For a moment, the huge, terrifying bulk of old Grandad was a breakwater of shadow as the daylight streamed past. There was a brief, grinding noise.